Amen. Well, it's my turn to be tested. Oh, Lord. So this morning we come to message 3 on exercising the Spirit to pray to the Lord. Well, this morning line on exercising the Spirit is helpful to me, and I think it's also helpful to all of us, because we're learning how to exercise. We're just here learners how to exercise.
Amen.
We're not professionals, but we're exercising. Well, I'd like to open in this way. As we're getting into it, me and Phil will share this morning, and I'll share the first part, but I'm actually going to cover from Romans 2 to 5 on prayer of fellowship, and then Phil will follow with prayer of intercession. So we just want to lay a foundation this morning of how we can have uplifted time in our prayer with the Lord. And to start, I would just ask some questions here. What is your first response when you hear of some good news or bad news? Because we all have a response in our being. And the reason I ask this is because depending on your response shows where you're at in your spiritual life. Okay? I don't know if, I hope your first response is to pray, but I don't think many of us are. But I just went through some list of items of things that have happened in my life recently and in the past, and what was my response? And I'm asking you, what is your response? Okay, in college, I had 25% on a midterm. What was my response? You know? Probably my emotion, yes, my emotion. 25%, but I still passed the course through much prayer. Well, maybe you lost a job, you know. Maybe a relationship was broken. What is your first response? Now, these are all personal things, but deeper than that, maybe you're being mocked at school. You know, you're being despised for being a Christian. How can you believe that God exists? So what is your response? Or maybe 2 years ago, when this country accepted the gay marriage, what was your response? You know, the White House was colored in, you know, rainbow colors. Was that our response? God is love. You know, if we know God, we would mourn. Because that was not a day of rejoicing. That's a day of mourning for this age. Or, to get more serious, because the first Roman numeral, how he'll share, is when Daniel learned to know the writing, he had a response. What would be your response if I told you the Lord is coming next year? What would your response be? Right? What if it's 20 years? We don't know the exact time, but we know the Lord wants to come. Would our response be, well, I have 20 years to live my life? Or would my response be to come and pray? You know, what would your response be if the land was gained to build the temple? You know, there's a brother that lives in Jerusalem. I know he's praying for that. They want the land for the temple. What would your response be? We believe this will happen. Well, if your first response after hearing a tragedy, and the last thing I want to touch, recently, a close friend of my wife's was killed. So, what is your response? Maybe the first response is you cry and you weep. Well, if that's your first response, your emotion is taking the lead. But if our first response is to pray, that means you've exercised your spirit to pray. Or maybe it's in your mind, you try to figure it out. You know, there has to be a way to solve this. Or your will, I'm going to fight back, you know. Lord Jesus. So this morning, I just wanted to share, what is the significance of prayer in Romans 2? Let's read it together. Romans 2. Significance of prayer lies not in asking God for things, but in contacting and absorbing God. Contacting and absorbing God.
Amen.
We all let's all say John 4:24.
Is spirit,
and those who worship him worship in spirit and truthfulness. You know the nature of God is spirit. So if the nature of God is spirit, what is your goal in gaining God, in coming to God? It must be to gain the nature of God. That is spirit. You know, this is actually a divine principle here. When we want to come to pray, there is a divine place and a divine way to pray. It doesn't give us an option, any option here of how you should pray. You know, I feel like praying in my mind. No. I feel like praying in my emotion. It says God is spirit, and those who worship can feel like praying in spirit. Those who worship must worship in spirit. So we have no choice in this matter of praying in spirit. But if you have a primary goal in your prayer can be answered every time you come to pray. Who wants their prayer answered every time they come to the Lord? We all want our prayer answered every time. Well, if you come to absorb and contact God, your prayer will be answered every time.
Amen.
So the significance is not to ask for things. The primary thing is to contact God.
Amen.
Let's go on to room number 3. The proper organ for prayer is the human spirit. I want to give a little example here. Who's ever broken their body? A number of you? So you've broken something. I broke my arm when I was in grade 8. And I was in a cast for 6 weeks. Okay? So I have an arm, and I have an elbow, and it should work. But after I took off the cast, my arm would not straighten. I have all the organ. I have the organ of my arm, but it would not straighten. So I had to exercise. Weeks of exercise until it could finally straighten. So you have, all of us have the proper organ, but how much do we exercise that organ? I think we all know that we have a human spirit. But if we haven't learned how to exercise, you cannot pray. You may pray one sentence and you're out. Even I heard that if someone's eyes are covered for a period of time, you can't see anymore because you don't use the muscle. Brother Lee was on bed for 6 months because of severe illness. He got up and he fell to the floor. He's like, what's going on? I have legs. I have legs to walk, but he couldn't walk. This is because he had stopped exercising his legs. Well, in the same way, we have the organ, but if we don't exercise, there's no spiritual muscle. So there's no way for us to pray if we don't exercise this. And that second part about worship in spirit and truthfulness is, going back a little bit, but when the Samaritan woman came to the Lord and saying, where should we pray? This place, that place. Well, the place was not important anymore because the Lord says in verse 23, an hour is coming and it is now when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit.
Amen.
So the place was the spirit.
Amen.
With what in Old Testament they had to worship according to the offerings. Second was according to the offerings. Well, what do we worship with God? We worship God with all the meal, all the offerings. And I think Phil will touch on this a little bit. Is we come to the Lord with Christ. I'll cover the different offerings in the part about the meal, dealing with hindrances. So let's read 8 together and 3a.
The Bible shows that God is spirit, and that for us to contact God, we must use our spirit.
Amen. So in Jude 20, can someone look up Ephesians 6:18? And someone look up Jude 20? And read it with a strong spirit. You stand up. Jude 20.
Amen.
He's got it. Go.
But you, beloved, building up yourselves upon your most holy faith.
Amen.
Praying in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Jude 20.
Yes. Jude 20. If you want to pray, it has to be in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Secondly, Ephesians 6:18.
By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance, and petition concerning all the saints.
Where do we pray every time?
In
spirit. This is the human spirit or the mingled spirit. So actually, we have no choice. I wanted to touch another example about this organ. B says we need to use a proper organ to pray. The organ for prayer is the human spirit. Can I have one brother volunteer? Come up. We're going to volunteer someone. All right. Nathan, come up. So Nathan, you like to work out, right? And after you work out, you get very thirsty. So now I want you to drink water, but you cannot use your mouth. A drink. Here, drink water. You cannot use your mouth.
I can't put my mouth to it.
No, you can't use your mouth. You have to use another organ. What about your nose? Maybe you can do it through your nose.
Well,
see, it just doesn't work. He has the organ of the mouth. Sometimes we try to pray not using, thank you, brother, not using the right organ. We try to use our mind, right? We come to the word, and right away it's like, okay, what does this mean? What is he trying to say here? We're using our emotions. We just love, but the proper organ is our human spirit. So, amen. And then how the brothers read C.
The human spirit is the deepest part of our being. A person who prays with his spirit contacts God with his innermost part.
Amen. Innermost part. So the spirit is hidden inside of our soul, and it needs to be released. Well, don't get in your mind about what is innermost. It's just the deepest part. And your spirit is connected to your mouth. So when you call from deep within, you're touching the spirit. Right? Don't analyze. Just call. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Right? The first day we saw with calling. The second day we saw with musing. And today, we're covering with exercising to pray. So one says, we need to learn to reject our mind when we pray. The faculty for prayer is not the mind, but the spirit.
Amen.
We should forget about our thoughts and not be concerned with what we should pray. All right, who has a prayer list? Well, it's good to have a prayer list. I'm not saying it's bad to have a prayer list. But when we first thing we come to God, is the first thing a prayer list? Is that the first thing we do? Okay, we got our prayer list. I've been trying to practice this time in the afternoon of praying for people. But I realize this practice of praying is very good, and I have a whole list. You know, on my phone, I put it on my calendar so it reminds me. You know, 20-some people all on the list. But if I would spend every day just praying for these 20 people without absorbing and contacting God, I would be burnt out really fast. So the first thing, we have to reject our mind. I don't who we pray for. Just reject our thoughts. If you haven't absorbed God and contacted God, you're not qualified to pray. And secondly, is that we should turn and pray according to the inner feeling. You know, the feeling within us is the feeling of the Spirit. When we pray according to this feeling, we are exercising our spirit in prayer. So exercise, again, this, we're so far have touched the personal aspect of prayer, but where do you go to exercise? Who goes to a gym? I have to confess, I don't like going to gyms, but I do go to a spiritual gym every week. You know what it is? Tuesday night prayer meeting. That is where I learned to exercise. You know, I was in college, I went to a prayer meeting, and I was like, what am I doing here? I just can't pray like these people. Well, when are you going to learn to pray? The best place is the church prayer meeting. Amen. There's a brother that was my companion, and he was in grade 10 at the time. Every Wednesday night, we would drive half an hour to the prayer meeting. He's in grade 10. So he was a pattern of me. You know, I was serving. But his spirit is strong in prayer. You know why? Because he's learned to exercise it week by week. And last 2 weeks ago, me and him were fellowshipping. He's in college now. We don't pray enough, you know? This is coming from a college student, right? He's like, we're talking about starting a club and doing this. He's like, we need to pray, right? So what is our first response is to pray.
Amen.
Where are you going to get this exercise? It's in the church prayer meeting.
Amen.
So you're not too young to pray.
Amen.
You're not too young to pray.
Amen.
You know, I live in Montreal, and I live in a downtown area where it's mostly students, you know, not many families. You know, sometimes half the prayer meeting is students, right? 8-10 of us, and half of them are students. It's a normal thing for you to be in a prayer meeting.
Amen.
You know, that's where you fit in the church life, to pray for God's move. Even if you don't, you know how to pray, you just come. You never regret going to a prayer meeting. And you feel like your prayer is way off, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't. You're contacting and absorbing God.
Amen.
And over time, you'll learn how to exercise. And that muscle becomes stronger and stronger.
Amen.
So next time something comes up, the first response will be to pray.
Amen.
And let's read four together.
We need
to pray without hindrance and deal with our sins
for prayer.
I had a lot of points in this matter of hindrance. Now you have maybe a desire to pray, and you want to pray, but what is the hindrance? There's many hindrances that will stop you from praying. In Hebrews, actually, in Acts 24:16, Paul had a good exercise. What does it say? Because of this, I also exercise myself to always have a conscience without offense toward God and men.
Amen.
Okay, you're at the prayer meeting now, and there's a brother you offended. You think you can pray very much? No. Right? There's a brother you offended, so you're in a prayer meeting, you have to exercise yourself to take care of that problem. Well, me and Phil were fellowshipping. How much of our time with the Lord should we pray in a confession way? We're trying to get the percentage right, you know. How much? Anyways, an excerpt it says, much of our time should be in confession. He actually found the verses in Daniel. Daniel spent 12 out of 16 verses confessing. In Daniel 9, right? So he spent 75% of his time confessing before the Lord. Right, also of Israel. So, I come to the Lord sometimes and I feel I have nothing to confess. Well, this matter of confession, are you a sinner? Yes. Do you have a sinful nature? Yes. So every morning we still have a sinful nature. And that's why we have to lay our hands as the sin offering.
Amen.
Because he became sin for us.
Amen.
As you practice this, you realize I'm capable of sinning today. Right? So we offer him as my sin offering. Because if the opportunity is there, we will sin. So we all have a reason or something to confess. Another thing, in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 10:22. And I'll finish with a couple points here. Hebrews 10:22. Let us come forward to the Holy of Holies with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience.
Amen.
Having your heart sprinkled.
Amen.
You know, the only way we can come to pray is in two ways. The first is through the blood. And the second is in the Lord's name. If we don't come in the Lord's blood, we're not righteous. We're not holy. and we're not living. In I think it's in Hebrews 9:14. There's a good footnote there. 9:14. The verse says, "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?"
Amen.
Okay, so maybe you've confessed all your sins, so now you got nothing to confess. Well, are you righteous in all your living? Here it says, from dead works to serve the living God.
Yeah.
Are you living? If you're living and normal, you're bearing fruit. So lately I've been confessing, Lord, how much fruit am I bearing? How living am I? So the footnote says here in 14:3, says, "He is righteous, holy and living. Our defiled conscience needs to be purified that we may serve him in a living way.
Amen.
To worship him in our mind in a religious way does not require this." So we are ones who know our God, and we know a living God. So ask yourself, how living are you? Right? Come to the Lord. Is there any hindrance in my living the gospel? Right? This is all these messages are linked together. So we want to remove any hindrances. Maybe it's, you know, hindrance of barrenness, right? Fruitlessness, you know, Christlessness. A lot of these things we have to confess. Actually, you know, when you touch your spirit, every time you confess, you touch your spirit. So, because your consciousness is in your spirit. So if you want to have an experience, you know, a simple experience, how can you help someone touch the Lord? Help them to confess. As soon as they've confessed something, they've touched the Lord, right? So the first experience of touching the Lord is confession of our sins. So lastly, the greatest benefit in praying before God and contacting God is that we receive mercy and find grace for timely help to meet our every need.
Actually, I was just thinking of the Samaritan woman that Jesus was speaking to in John 4. Her first experience of her spirit was confessing her sins. Actually, the Lord helped her. He told her what she did, and then she just agreed with him. Yeah. Amen. So, in this outline, there are two kinds of prayer. The prayer of fellowship that our brother was just opening up. And actually, all of the 8 o'clock meetings, the morning time, all of those are to help us with this, right, in the prayer of fellowship. And this is something crucial. It's something that we really need. There's an old hymn that uses the phrase "sweet hour of prayer,"
right.
And it really can be so sweet to us, just to spend time with the Lord in prayer, not with any agenda, but just to contact him. Lord, I'm not here for things. I need you. I want you. I just want to be with you before your face, right? And actually, all of the things in this morning line, they go together. These are not things we separate. You know, to just begin our time with the Lord by calling on his name, to come to his word, and begin to read and mix our word with prayer. Actually, in the ministry, it talks about our prayer and our reading becoming indistinguishable. You can't tell them apart. What am I doing? Is this my Bible reading or my prayer time? I don't know. I'm just here with you, Lord. I have your word open. I read this verse. Something touched me. I want to stay here. then after I'm done fellowshipping with you about this verse, then I can go on and I read some more and I pray some more. All of these things, they're part of our practice. And actually, this is part of our practice to know the Lord.
Amen.
We need to know Him in His Word. We need to know Him
Amen.
Through our prayer and
Amen.
Through our fellowship with Him. Then this kind of practice, and let me just emphasize that word, practice. It takes time for us to develop a practice of spending time with the Lord. Don't be discouraged by struggles in this area. Practice. Some days will be better than others. Some days might be awesome. Some days you might feel like you got nothing. But like Dennis shared earlier this morning, every 24 hours, we have a new beginning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So our prayer of fellowship, this practice, our getting to know God in this kind of a way, is a base for the other kind of prayer in this outline. And that is a prayer in which we know God's will because we know God.
Amen.
We know God's will because we spend time with Him in His presence and we listen, we allow Him to speak to us. He lets us know what's on His heart. And then we pray those things back to God. We cooperate with God in prayer to pray His will from the heavens to the earth. In order for the will of God in heaven to be done on earth, He needs faithful channels of prayer, like Daniel, to pray His will to the earth. So I wanted to share something with you. I guess maybe this is a little bit of a tangent. I forget whether this was December 2014 or December 2015. But a couple, a married couple, a husband and wife, they went into an office Christmas party in San Bernardino, California, and they started shooting. They killed 14 people. They injured a bunch of others. And I probably, like many of you, I don't know if you remember the incident, was following this in the news. I saw in some news reports, it mentioned people trapped inside the building were texting people outside, "Pray for us." It's a normal response in that kind of a situation to pray. And then some evacuated workers outside the building. This is a description in a news article. It said they held hands, bowed their heads, and prayed. And of course, many people responded. Politicians, public figures, lots of people responded. News bites saying, "Our thoughts and our prayers are with those people and with all the ones that were affected by this." Okay, so that's the background. Then there was a response from this godless age. One publication said, prayer is not an effective strategy. Actually, it said, prayer is useless. A major newspaper in New York ran a full-page headline, God isn't fixing this. And in one news article I saw this one man who's an avowed atheist. He just said, stop praying. This is the kind of contempt, the mocking that this age considers prayer with. You fools, why would you pray? God isn't fixing this. That's an ineffective strategy. It's useless. Just stop. That's the reaction from the age. And I was provoked in my spirit. That's not right. And so I went to the Word. I said, I need to look at, in the Word, what is prayer? Right? Anyway, like I said, it's a little tangential, but this is how this age views prayer. This is how God's enemy views prayer. Satan would like nothing more than to stop you from praying, even to shame you into not praying anymore. You fool. Why do you pray? Well, Satan does this because there's a warfare in the universe. So I wrote this out so I could try to present it to you as clearly as possible and as succinctly as possible. I just want to share with you 10 things. There are some verses that go with them that just show us from the Word that there's a warfare. First, God created, and He created for His will. He created for His purpose. Revelation 4:11 doesn't just talk about God as the Creator. It says, "You have created all things, and because of your will, they were and were created." The universe exists. The universe was created for God's purpose. Second point, God created man for His purpose. Most of us are familiar with Genesis 1:26, right? God made man in His image, according to His likeness, and gave man dominion, right? Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion. So, not only does the Bible tell us that creation is for God's purpose, right, it also lets us know, more specifically, man as the high peak, as the center of God's creation. Man was created for God's purpose. In God's image, that God could be expressed, and with God's dominion, so that God's authority could be exercised over his enemy. This word, dominion, in the record of creation implies there's a warfare. There's a problem in the universe. I want you, this creature, man, to express me and to deal with this problem. Third, Satan usurped the earth and man. Now, in John 12:31, the Lord Jesus referred to Satan as the ruler of this world. Is the earth the Lord's? Is the earth the enemy's? No. The earth is the Lord's. But it's in the hand of a usurper. A usurper is an illegal claimant to a throne. He doesn't belong there, but he grabbed it. He took it. And he's ruling there. And 1 John 5:19 tells us the whole world lies in the evil one. Now, fourth, the unbelievers, and also we, when we were unbelievers, were under Satan's rule, under his influence. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3, it says, "You, when you were dead in your offenses and sins, in which you once walked according to the age of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, you conducted yourselves in the lusts of your flesh." The unbelievers in the world, they probably, in most cases, have no awareness. But they're under a ruler. And they're under an influence. Okay, fifth, God saved us and called us according to his purpose.
Amen.
God's purpose is an eternal purpose.
Amen.
And he will not let his enemy change any of that. He will still carry out his purpose.
Amen.
2 Timothy 1:9 says, "God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace." So I just want to emphasize here, okay, God created man for his purpose, giving him image and dominion.
Right.
Satan came in to ruin man for God's purpose. Now God saved you for his purpose.
Amen.
There are many things in God's salvation. God's salvation is a complete salvation. It's a wonderful salvation. In his judicial redemption, we're forgiven of our sins. We get washed. We get cleansed. We get reconciled to God. We're justified before God. Now he's saving us much more in his life. He's dispensing himself into us, right? We can fellowship with him. We can enjoy him. We can eat him, drink him, breathe him. Salvation is awesome.
Amen.
But it's not for you. He saved you and called you for his purpose.
Amen.
What is his purpose? That he would be expressed in a group of people called the church, and that the church would cooperate with him to bring the will in heaven to earth.
Amen.
So that the devil can be destroyed, can be dealt with.
Amen.
Okay, six. We are still at war. Satan attacks the church. In Matthew 16, 18, this is the first time the church was ever mentioned. The Lord said, I will build my church. But immediately, he said, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. There's been a warfare since God created. Actually, Satan's rebellion was long, long ago. We're still at war. And although you are a believer, Satan is still attacking. So the seventh point is, Satan wants to destroy the believers. Some of this is overt, and some of it is subtle. Romans 12:2 says, do not be fashioned according to this age. Well, if you just live in this age, you go to school, you watch TV, you're on the internet, you talk to your friends, the overwhelming influence on your life is this age. It's subtle, but it's there. It's constant. You don't need to look for it. It just is happening. It's happening to you all the time. The age is influencing you. It's affecting your thoughts. So we need to actively combat that. Amen. By being renewed. Amen. Being renewed there in Romans 12, too, it's the renewing of the mind. Our thinking. We need another influence in our thinking. Where's that come from? It comes from the Word. Amen. Somebody told me, stop praying. Somebody told me prayer is ineffective. No. Amen. That's not the source of my thinking. Amen. What does the Bible say? Amen. What does God's Word say? Amen. Lord, how do you feel about this? Amen. I'm bringing your Word to you. Amen. In fellowship. Amen. You tell me. You give me your feeling. How do you feel about this? Then 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober. Watch. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking someone to devour. Peter wrote that to us, to the believers. Don't think just because you're a believer, you're exempt from this warfare. Or that Satan no longer wants to destroy you. Satan wants to destroy man and ruin him. He wants to ruin human vessels through some of the things that have been mentioned here, through fornication, through homosexuality, through drugs, through all kinds of addictions. Whether they're substances or digital or whatever, he wants to destroy human vessels for God's purpose. And believers are not exempt from this attack. Be sober. Watch. So, number eight, this battle goes on even if we are ignorant of it. So we hope through our sharing that we can all wake up and not be ignorant of this. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, that we may not be taken advantage of by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. There's a footnote on that verse that says schemes can also be translated purposes. God has a purpose. Satan has an evil purpose. Then number 9, this is a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. We need to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the stratagems of the devil. For our wrestling is not against blood and flesh, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenlies. So when we encounter many things in our natural being, we may have a response against people. Our wrestling is not with the people. There's an influence behind many things. We need to see through to this universal warfare and learn how to cooperate with God to fight the battle in the spiritual realm. We fight this battle by prayer. This is the last point, number 10. First Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You know, we've mentioned verses 3 and 4.
Yeah, right.
This is God's desire,
right?
Our Savior God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth, right? This is God's intention, right? So what comes before that in verses 1 and 2? Paul says, I exhort, therefore, first of all, right? That petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, on behalf of kings and all who are in high position, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all godliness and gravity. If we want all men to be saved, if you want your classmate to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth, you need to pray. Matthew 16:19, the Lord said, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in the heavens, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in the heavens. It's already bound in the heavens. It's already loosed in the heavens. God requires an echo on the earth, a group of people standing with what he has determined in the heavens and saying, God, we want your will. Do it here on earth. Bind that. Loose that. Bind the enemy who's blinding the thoughts of my classmate. Loose. Loose him. Loose her from the enemy.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we need to learn this. We need to be aware of it, and then we need to practice. Practice in the prayer meeting. Practice with companions. Practice on our own. All right, let's Let's look at the outline here on Roman numeral 1. A little bit of context, in case you don't know the context of the book of Daniel. The children of Israel, God had established his kingdom with the temple in Jerusalem. There was the proper worship of God according to his ordination there. But eventually, the children of Israel were unfaithful to God. And so God, in his sovereignty, allowed them to be carried into captivity in Babylon. So Daniel was one who, probably when he was quite young, was carried into captivity in Babylon. And he lived there, I think, his whole life. The incident that takes place here in Daniel 6, I think this was at least the third king he had been under. And he had been holding quite high positions in government during this whole time. So this was in the first year of Darius the Mede. And Darius, to govern his empire, he set up 120 satraps or governors. And then he had three chief ministers over all of them. Daniel was one of these three chief ministers. And the king was even considering putting Daniel over the whole kingdom. Why? Because there was an excellent spirit in him. So this aroused the jealousy of the others, the other ministers, the other governors. And so they hatched a godless plot, and the godless king went along with it. And their plot was, whoever prays to any god except you, King Darius, for the next 30 days should be thrown into a lion's den. Now, in chapter 9, chapter 6 starts, it says this was the first year of Darius the Mede, the first year of his reign. Chapter 9 also says, at the beginning, this was in the first year of Darius the Mede. So in chapter 9, what happened? In chapter 9, Daniel was pray-reading the Bible. Daniel learned from the book of Jeremiah that after 70 years, God would turn the captivity. You will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. After 70 years, I will punish the king and the nation of Babylon. When 70 years are fulfilled, I will bring you back. You will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me if you search for me with all your heart. Daniel read that. I think when Daniel read it, he said, I need to do that. It says, call upon me. Come, pray to me. I will listen to you. Seek me with all your heart. Daniel said, I'm going to do that. I don't care what else is going on. I'm going to do that. Then what happened? Here's the law. The king said, the law of the Medes is, once the king signs the law, no one can change it, not even the king. What did Daniel do? That's this verse. Roman numeral 1. When Daniel came to know that the writing had been signed, the writing, the law, that said, if you pray to someone else, you die in the lion's den. It's like when the king signed Daniel's death warrant, he went and prayed. You know, This is, Dennis was talking about, what is our response when things happen? This was a stop praying. How did Daniel respond? He went to his room and prayed. Amen. He went to his house. In his upper room, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And three times daily, he knelt on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God, because he had always done so previously. Amen. Daniel would not let anything, not even the imminent threat of death, Daniel would not let anything stop or frustrate his prayer. He knew that his prayer was for the carrying out of God's economy concerning his elect. Lord, you wrote this. You prophesied it through Jeremiah. It's in your word. I read it. I see it. This is what's supposed to happen with your people when these 70 years are up. I can't stand with this outward situation here. I can't stand with this godless king, these jealous ministers, or this satanic law that's seeking to stop my prayer and stop your economy. I stand with your economy. Amen. Therefore, his prayer was a serious matter. Today, prayer is the lifeline in the Lord's recovery. The more Satan tries to frustrate our prayer, the more we should pray. Amen. So, we need to learn to pray in this way. I believe I've touched this kind of prayer. But I aspire to learn more. God has a need for his will to be carried out on earth. There must be an echo of the will in heaven on earth. How will you pray for what's on God's heart if you don't know him? If I ask you to buy me a present, something that really matches me, that I'll really like, what are your chances? You don't know me. We need to know our God. We need to spend time in the prayer of fellowship to know him. And then we need to learn, to practice, to exercise, to pray, to cooperate with God in prayer for the carrying out of his economy. Okay, I know our time is up. 10 things regarding Daniel. Daniel is such a good pattern. And we can learn from his pattern. And most of these are just in this one verse here. This is the vessel. He was a vessel of prayer. I don't know how many vessels God had, how many channels of prayer for his economy he had on the earth at that time. We know that earlier in Daniel, he had his companions, and they prayed together in this kind of way. But we can learn from the pattern of the vessel. We learn from patterns. Okay, number one, Daniel knew God. Of course, we've had this verse, Daniel 11:32b, right? The people who know their God will show strength and take action. Daniel wasn't writing that about himself, but from his pattern, that is how he lived. You know, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel and his three companions, they were there with King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He was bothered by the dream. He wanted to know its interpretation. He said, tell me its tell me the interpretation of my dream. And all the wise men said, yes, tell us the dream. And he said, no way. If I tell you the dream, you're just going to make something up. All of you, you either tell me the dream and the interpretation, or else I kill you all. This is the Babylonian Empire. This is not, he wasn't joking. So do you know what Daniel did? Okay, first Daniel went to the captain of the guard. He said, it says he went with discretion. I don't know, he had a conversation on the side. What is this about? And he found out what it was about. Then it says he went into the king. He scheduled a meeting with the king where he would tell him the dream and the interpretation. Then he went and told his companions, and they prayed. You look at the sequence in the verses. Daniel knew God.
Amen.
He showed strength, and he took action. Okay, Daniel knew God's word, number two. I believe he pray-read the word. And we saw that in Daniel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Third, he was a person who exercised his spirit. Daniel 6:3 says, in him there was an excellent spirit. Number 4, he was faithful in prayer. That's here in Daniel 6:10. Then, number 5, he had a place of prayer, his upper room. Now, like Dennis shared earlier, actually, the unique place is our human spirit. We need to come to our spirit. But it can be really helpful for us to have a place, a regular place where we go, where that we keep free from distractions. So that we can, when we come to that place, we just so easily come into God's presence. Amen. Number 6, he had a direction. The direction of his prayer was toward Jerusalem, which signifies that he prayed toward the fulfillment of God's economy, toward the fulfillment of God's purpose. Number 7, he had a time of prayer. Actually, he had 3 times of prayer. It says 3 times daily. Number 8, he had a posture of prayer. He prayed on his knees. His attitude was one of worship. What's your posture in your prayer? What's your posture in the prayer meeting? What's your posture in your personal time? Consider. Number 9, he had a relationship with God. He had always done this. Prayed and gave thanks. I believe in that phrase, prayed and gave thanks, is there's not only much prayer for God's interest, but also much prayer of fellowship with God. A lot of telling the Lord about what was happening in the palace. He was there in Babylon. Surely there were many godless things happening. I believe he talked to the Lord about these things. Then lastly, he had a habit. He had always done so previously. We need to develop that.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I'll stop here.